And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme. Today's theme is communicating. All three of my guests are discussing their expertise in communicating ideas and concepts. My first guest communicated how to have a rich and free lifestyle, whether you're an entrepreneur or an employee. My second guest coined the term positioning. We discussed how to position companies in the new economic reality. My next guest is a former trainer of hostage negotiators for the FBI. Talk about a job that requires getting somebody's attention. That's got to be it right there. We're going to talk about the techniques he's using to get Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans to overcome their trauma. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Dr. Mark Goulston is a psychiatrist, a consultant, business coach, author. His latest book is titled Just Listen, Discover the Secrets of Getting Through to Just About Anybody. The Consumer Research Council of America named him one of America's top psychiatrists in 2009, 2005, and 2004. He writes a leadership column for Fast Company, and he also writes the column Solve Anything with Dr. Mark for the Tribune Media Services. You can see that every Saturday in the Los Angeles Times business section if you take that paper. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It's the Sunday LA Times business section, and I was named thing from the Consumer Research Council for 2010. They just won't leave me alone.
Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations on that. My research did not have that, and I'll be sure to upgrade that as well. But it is the Sunday Times. Sorry about that misunderstanding there. Well, Mark, one of the things that I've always liked about you is you've got a great term, a great phrase. You're known as the emotional exhale expert. What does that mean? Because that sounds very evocative.
Well, I think when people talk, when people feel frustrated, what happens is initially they're venting. And when they vent and you listen to their venting, what happens is they get exhausted, and often you get exhausted. But if you can not take it personally, if you cannot react, if you cannot get into a debate, and if instead of your needing to win or needing to be right, you actually need to show them that you actually care, they will cross over from venting to emotionally exhaling. You know, one of the things you know about is that I'm involved with programs for helping transitioning returning soldiers.
Yes.
And my partner at Steel Partners, people can check us out at steele.com, is Lieutenant General Marty Steele, who ran the Marines for a number of years. And one of the things that he does, and I think this is why he's so effective, is he's a deep listener. And when you are a deep listener, you care more about helping the other person than you do about maneuvering them. And it's interesting, if you can come from a place of deep caring, or to listen, as one of my favorite quotes, from a psychoanalyst, Wilfred Bion, said, if you can listen without memory or desire, meaning if you can listen without an old agenda or a future agenda, and just listen to get where they're coming from and care about them, people open up. And so one of the things that he did with soldiers, and imagine being an enlisted soldier getting an hour and a half one-on-one time with a three-star general.
An hour and a half? Wow.
Yeah. A piece in this transition program that was very successful some years ago. Mm. All he'd have to do is listen and say, what's going on, Marine? Because these were Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, I'm having some trouble transitioning. And then if you listen from caring and say to another person, yeah, but what's really going on? Well, I'm arguing with my wife. My kids and I are sort of at odds with each other. And if you do it, it's like three strikes and you're in. And what he found is if he just said, yeah, but what's really going on? And he looked them in the eye, what a number of them would say is, sir, I saw and did bad things in the war.
Yeah.
And when I close my eyes, I see them more clearly, so I don't close my eyes very much. And then he gives them a direct order to let it go.
Wow.
So can you see how that would cause someone to exhale when they can really say the thing that's really bothering them? And it's transformational. For instance, a good thing to say to your spouse Often one of the frustrations for a lot of mothers and wives, especially when kids get to be teenagers, is they're often really trying to help their family and they get no cooperation from anyone.
True.
Their teenagers fight back. Often the teenagers will play dad against the mom, and the dad will say to the mom, come on, can you get off their case? And the mom often wants what's best for the family. And so something that I've coached husbands to say to their wives in those situations would be something like, I'll bet you sometimes feel that you are doing everything you can to help all of us, and all of us fight you all the time. Isn't that true? You say that to your wife, if it's true, she'll not only exhale, she'll start to cry with relief. And can you see in your mind's eye, Billy, that that would transform the whole conversation?
Absolutely it would, Mark. I can see that. And we're talking to Mark Goulston, everybody, author of the book Just Listen. I mean, you're bouncing around with some great ideas here. You talked about General Steele and what he's doing with the U.S. Marines. You talked about what you can do at the home front, no pun intended there, to bolster your relationships with your wives. I want to come back, if we can, for just a minute, to the Marines. It is Veterans Day, so I want to talk a little bit about that. You are a giver. That is part of your personality. And I know that you believe in giving back. You're trying to get involved with General Steele on a project to help returning veterans from the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Tell us about what the project is or will be and why you decided to join this project with your expertise.
Well, General Steele had a program between 2006 and 2008 that was wildly successful, but it was privately funded, and so now we're dealing with trying to get it funded either by the government or privately, and just like everyone, we're running into a lot of challenges there.
Sure.
And what struck me about General Steele is how deeply he cares about, you know, his men and women. I mean, and I think I got involved, and I am a vice chairman at Steele Partners, because I didn't serve in Vietnam, and I have high school classmates who are on the Vietnam wall while I've had a good life for the last, I don't know, 40 years. And my children didn't serve in these wars, and I have friends whose kids were killed. And as I get older, I think the most noble part of human nature is selfless sacrifice. To put yourself in harm's way, to help and save people that you've never met. And so I also include firemen and policemen. And some people will say, well, you know, they're testosterone junkies and yada, yada, yada. And I say, I don't care what they are. You know, how often do you step in the line of a bullet to help someone? And so to me, I think that kind of sacrifice, it just gets me so stirred up. And my belief is that that when our young men and women come back, we owe them much more than applause and a beer at the airport. I mean, that's better than ignoring them. But
right.
We owe them so much more, and that's my commitment. That's my commitment. You know, for the rest of my life, I want to give everyone who's put themselves in harm's way for another human being, you know, their shot at a good life. And then if some of them are unfortunately too disabled, I want them to get health care and dignity. And that's, you're getting me all stirred up here.
Wow, what a noble, noble thought, especially today of all days, to talk about selfless sacrifice for the hundreds of thousands of people who have given their lives in some cases to defend this country, in other cases maybe have given a body part to defend this country, and even those that are whole who've spent time fighting for the United States. It's an amazing thing. Both people not only in the military, but as you said, fire and police as well, that are doing this on a day-to-day basis. Very, very stirring. So I guess that leads me to the next question, Mark. What does Veterans Day mean for you then?
Oh, well, it's a... I think what it means to me is we get to put top of mind through our parades and other celebrations of them. And again, Veterans Day is not Memorial Day. Memorial Day is honoring the ones who died for us. Veterans Day is honoring anyone living or dead, who served for us. So I think it gets, it's the opportunity to put our young men and women and our older men and women who have served in previous wars at top of mind. What I'm scurrying around is how do we not let that fall through the just fade away tomorrow. It'll make Veterans Day, I am certain, made the front page, maybe not the top story in most newspapers around this country. In the LA Times is a story of with a picture of some young woman and her children at the gravesite of her husband.
Yes.
And so the challenge is how do we do more than just applaud them as the parades go by? And I don't have a really good answer, but I have a commitment to it. And I think, I don't know, I think if we can just schedule, because I'll tell you what commitment is in life is scheduling something. You haven't made a commitment until you put it in your schedule to do something, and you haven't kept a commitment until you've checked it off after you've done it. And I think if people would just put in their schedule, whether they're volunteering at one of the wonderful programs to help our veterans and soldiers or something, but just schedule it, get it in your routine. I don't care if it's once a month. I'd like it to be once a week, but put time in to help them.
Wow. Very moving, very thought-provoking, Mark. Very good on that. I want to bring it back to some of the work that you will be doing in this new program with the Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans when they come back. And as we said at the top of the interview, you are the emotional exhale guy. So using some of your techniques, and let's just pretend that you're talking to me and I'm a vet, in a tense situation where you're trying to get through to me, how do you move me from the mindset of O-S-H to okay? How do we move from oh boy to okay?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Something that I might do is do something slightly educational, because that's less confrontational. And most soldiers are used to being trained, so they're used to training. And there's a model that I have for post-traumatic stress disorder that nearly every veteran or soldier I've spoken to said that's it. And what I would say to you is let me try to explain to you what happened to you. What happened is you joined the military and you were kind of a loosey-goosey recruit, and they sort of broke you down from a loosey-goosey pickup truck and they turned you into a Porsche. And they molded you together, and there's actually three levels to your mind. Your thinking, your feeling, and your actions all are separate parts of your mind and your brain. And they molded you together into a Porsche with a mission that you could fight terrorism, and you could stand up for this country, and you could bond with your peers. What happened is war is incredibly ugly. One of the things that General Steele says to these men when he's giving them an order to let it go is war is not pretty. It's just necessary sometimes. And so what happened is when you saw the horrors of war, your mind started to come a little unglued, but your training allowed you to make it through those tours of duty. But inside, what you saw, you can't stop seeing. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is now that you've come back and you don't have that mission that you were trained to fulfill, and you don't have that fire team, that squadron, what's happening is you've become a little bit unglued. And one of the ways to glue you back together is to have you start talking. And so what I would try and do is, and I think it's necessary, is you need to see people in groups and have them gradually start to share kind of the horrors that they saw. It's going to take a lot of time and patience, because when they saw those horrors over in Iraq and Afghanistan, they didn't tell their buddies. Each person lived their own private hell that, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. I can't believe what I just did. I can't believe what just happened. And there's a certain code of silence. You don't share that. So inside, there you are, just trying to keep it together. And then when you're discharged from the service, everything comes unglued. So, So does that make any sense as I'm describing it to you, Billy?
It does. And actually, that's a very good, if I can just recap what I think that I heard you say, teaching, you're really trying to teach them, and that's your way of getting less resistance. You kind of explain the process that they went through in basic training to get them to become fighting machines and really peak performers in the case of fighting terrorism. But when they come back, they're out of the service, then all of that training, that anchor point that they had, is gone. And now they're left on their own with the memories of what they saw, the visualizations of what went on, and they don't know how to cope. So one way to get them to do that is to talk and get them to talk about it, and probably the best way to do that is in group therapy.
Yeah, and they have, see, and they have to talk it through, because, see, what happened is when you face horror, it really rattles you. I mean, you do come unglued, but you basically, if you're well-trained, you can finish what you need to do, but down deep there's this feeling, if I took a couple more shots to my psyche, I would fall apart. So part of what PTSD is trying to avoid anything and everything that would get that would re-traumatize you. The first trauma sort of caused you to become a little unglued, and there's this fear that if I'm re-traumatized, I'll fragment. And so a lot of the symptoms of PTSD, avoidance, numbing yourself, drinking and drugs, is to try to keep yourself from being re-traumatized, but if you can talk it through with other people who went through it, I think you can heal this from the inside out.
Great. We're talking to Mark Goldston, everybody. He's the author of the book, Just Listen. And Mark, obviously you're a trained professional, but fundamental key to your job is listening, hence the title of your book. What are one technique that we can take away to help another person feel like we're truly listening?
I think what we can do is whenever someone's saying something to us, try to not take it personally. And if someone is frustrated, angry, or upset, see if we can say, are you frustrated? Are you hurt? Are you scared? Get them to admit what the feeling is. And then if you look at them with caring and say, how bad does that get for you? How frustrated? What will happen is they will start to tear up with relief. They'll start to exhale, and they'll start to calm down.
The emotional exhale that you're known for in that. All right, Mark, that's a great technique, and you can use that at home. You could use that at the office. You could use that in school, just about any environment.
Absolutely.
All right, great. We've been talking to Mark Goldston, everybody, author of the book Just Listen, Discover the Secret of Getting Through to Absolutely Anybody. Mark, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go?
Well, they can come to my website, markgoulston.com, markgoulston.com, and if people actually sign up there, throw in their email, they can get on my list of tips, kind of like the kind of tips that I've shared with you today.
Oh, that's wonderful, and they have been great tips. We've been talking to Mark Goulston, everybody. Mark, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Mark.